So I'm going to talk a little bit first about how we've used market research data to inform public health programs in general, and then go in specifically and talk about how we utilize it to help augment the work that diabetes prevention programs were doing. I have no disclosures. So first of all, DHPE, our Directors of Health Promotion and Education, we currently fund 12 grantees to use market research data to target their public health interventions. We work with 10 state health departments, a tribal organization, and then Washington, D.C. We give them a license to Nielsen consumer market analysis data, and we work with them to improve the targeting of their projects. Our grantees have used the information to identify social determinants of health, analyze the resource distribution, create and develop maps to target their communities and populations, and then also identify how to reach those audiences through different media venues. So I've mentioned this a little bit, but market research data can be used to identify geographic areas of need. It can be utilized to identify behaviors of certain populations, as well as looking at where individuals who have those behaviors live. So some of the things that we've looked at are tobacco consumption, whether or not somebody visits a doctor, consumption of soda. We've also looked at what else is in the community. So where are the parks located? What's the density of fast food restaurants? Where are the healthcare providers located in conjunction with the target populations? And then finally, looking at how to best reach those target populations through media. So identifying what they listen to, what they watch, when they watch it, where they like to shop, and what they like to do, as kind of utilizing that information to then further target and market to those populations. So specifically, we were working with a national organization to help augment the diabetes prevention programs. We know, as Dr. Strauss mentioned, these numbers are actually a little outdated, but we're closer to 29 million people who have diabetes and close to 8 million who have undiagnosed diabetes. But we also have 35% of our population have prediabetes, 35% of our adults, and about half of our adults who are 65 years old and older. The three categories that we found at greatest risk, and this is not inclusive, but are African Americans, individuals without a college education, and households that earn less than $25,000 per year. And depending on the area or the geography that we are focusing on, we added additional criteria as well. So the Diabetes Prevention Programs is a CDC program. It's an evidence-based lifestyle change program that includes lifestyle coaches. It's designed to help individuals who have prediabetes incorporate physical activity and healthy eating into their lifestyle. Nationally, there was a one-year grant that were given to national organizations to augment the use of the diabetes prevention programs in states that already had some capacity. There were seven strategies nationally. We worked with the National Chronic Disease Association to help their grantees in three areas: raising the general target population's awareness, creating referral systems into these programs because you had to meet certain criteria. One was a blood glucose level, and then also targeting employers to incorporate reimbursement for participating in the DPP into their insurance benefits. So one community we worked with was Fayette County in Kentucky. So it's in the center north of Kentucky. One of the first things we looked at were where the federally qualified health centers were located, because they would have a majority of their population would qualify for the program based solely on demographics of income and education. And then we looked at demographic information, and I tried to identify where individuals who were African American, had low income, and also no college education lived. And we identified three zip codes that had the highest concentration of those individuals. And we looked at that further and zoomed into the census tract level. And so originally there was focus across this three band, but then found that looking closer, there were actually a few pockets throughout the county that they might want to target based on census tract information. We took that further and went a little bit back, took a step back and looked at individual characteristics. One of them was African American, to see where the African American population was in the county. And again, we started by looking at zip code and then went down to the census tract, and it kind of gave us a different picture and a narrow area to focus on. In addition to looking at the percent of the population that was African American, we wanted to look at the number, so we did a dot density map. We did this for other characteristics as well. We looked at Hispanic, we looked at poverty, just to name a few different ways that we looked at it. In addition to looking at demographics, we looked at consumption. So this map here looks at the consumption of fresh fruits and vegetables. The darker the green, the less likely individuals that live in those areas are to consume fresh fruits and vegetables compared to the county as a whole. So kind of again, the darker green areas are similar to the ones that we saw before that had the demographics that were more prone to having prediabetes. And then again, we can look at it by census tract. Another consumption behavior we looked at was watching 45 hours or more of television. Similar kind of pattern shows up. The dark red is higher likelihood of participating in this activity. And then the census tracts, again, similar census tracts are popping up in this category as well. Other consumption variables that we looked at included soda consumption, fast food consumption, and then we did look at physical activity as well. And it highly correlated with the same geographies. So that was identifying where we might want to target areas for participation in these DPPs, as well as where we might want to place a DPP program. So in addition, we looked at then, well, how can we reach these individuals? What are our high-risk population? What do they like to listen to? So one of the things we looked at was radio, and not surprising, they most likely listen to radio Monday through Friday during commuting hours, and they tend to listen to radio stations. So our recommendation was, well, you probably want to focus on any ads you produce, do them through a country radio station. If you have the resources to do them during commuting hours, great. If not, we were able to provide what the second tier or third tier times were. We also looked at internet use among our high-risk group, and we found that about 60% of households owned a computer, about half of them had access to the internet, and about 20 adults and per 100 households actually use their internet on their cell phone to access information. So although our high-risk population does utilize in the internet, it does so at a less likely rate than the general population. So just keeping that in mind, this shouldn't be the only avenue of trying to communicate with them. Some of the other media information we looked at included where they shop. So if they wanted to post posters marketing the different DPPs, where would be the ideal places to post those? And we included that in the profiles we gave to our DPP sites. In addition, to help them create referral networks, we provided them with a detailed list of all the primary health care providers in the area, their full addresses, so that they could contact them, mail them information about where they were hosting the DPPs, when they were hosting them. And then we also gave them a list of large employers. The state health departments were looking for large employers that had over 500 employees to target them for incorporating DPP as a covered health benefit. So we were able to provide that list of information to them. The centers that were hosting the DPPs also thought senior centers would be a good target place, since a majority of their population would likely be pre-diabetic. So we gave them a list of the senior centers in the area. We also gave them information about what the density of fast food places were in the area, so if they wanted to complement the work that they were doing to look at you know, what is the food environment look like in their area and how that might be affecting their population as well. We gave them that information as well as where grocery stores were. So they're encouraging people to act to eat healthy, but do they have access to healthy foods? So we gave them that information in the event that they want to add in other interventions that would help improve the success of their program. Fitness centers, we gave them lists of fitness centers so they could contact them to work with them to either reduce rates or encourage the participants to join a fitness center if they were not able to, if they did not feel safe in their neighborhood to work out. So some conclusions of things that we tried to highlight in our reports to these communities were, where are the highest risk groups? And we tried to focus down to the census tract level to help them further narrow in the communities of where they wanted to target. And then looking at the media that would most likely reach their target audience as well as appeal to them. And then again, looking at primary care providers, where they're located, trying to start establishing that referral network into the program. And then finally, looking at the large employers and identifying them so that they could start incorporating it in as a covered health benefit. So, thank you.
Thank you.